Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode one of Blockchain Bets. My name is Not Fadeaway, and alongside with me is Mizu.
Hey, what's up, guys?
We are going to be a podcast that is, first of all, part of the NRN, or also known as the Non-Refungible Network. That is a group of our friends that created an NFT network to bring you everything NFT. They've been nice enough to allow us to create a podcast underneath their name. This podcast is going to be basically about NFTs, athletes that have NFTs, a little bit of gambling. As you can see, the name Blockchain Bets, that's what it's about, betting on the blockchain. Two of our favorite things. So we're going to be just talking about what's new in the NFT world with athletes for the week. And at the end, we're even going to bring to you maybe a favorite bet that we each have for the week. So let's get started here. The first episode, we just want to talk about, you know, when we first got into crypto, NFTs, maybe some of our favorite teams, kind of just an intro here to who we are. You want to get to know us a little bit. So Mizu, got a couple questions here for you, and I'll answer them as well. When did you first get into crypto?
Yeah, so for me, I got into crypto, I would say seriously, in 2019. I was in it in 2017 or following it, but fresh out of college and just too poor to buy anything.
I hear you there.
Yeah, so at that point, I wasn't really researching, though. And then I had pivoted careers in 2020, I guess, right before the pandemic hit. And my career now is a developer, so I'm like more thinking about technology than I used to be. And right. So at that point, I was like, oh, you know, some of this crypto that I'm holding, I should probably like see if it's worth holding on to, or like, what does it even do?
Right. And right.
Once I
what
started
is that crypto worth?
Yeah, exactly. Like I was like the guy that would just buy anything if somebody told him to, and then I started
buy Dogecoin. Okay.
yeah, exactly. And then, you know, as things progressed, like I was really hardcore into Bitcoin at first, because in college I was a finance major, so it just made more sense to me, like from an economic standpoint, like as a store of value. But then,
totally,
as I learned more, I pivoted towards more of like your Ethereum and Solana. And I mean, that's a good reason for why I got into NFTs too, because I was just so obsessed with Ethereum.
Yep.
I would say that's pretty much the story. And then once you get sucked in, you're stuck here. Like there's
right.
No leaving.
Exactly how it is. So I could actually say the same. I got into it maybe not as early as 2017, but actually in May of 2019. Funny thing is, the first crypto I bought was actually Dogecoin in 2019, when it was at about, oh God, 0.0000 whatever. And I didn't even know what it was. I just thought the name was funny and everything behind it was funny. And little did you know, I ended up selling it recently for a decent profit, but that was my intro to crypto. And then from there, I got into Ethereum, Polygon, or Matic.
Doge all the way up to the top and then back down.
I held it to the top and I held it back down. I ended up selling it at about, I want to say about 27 cents.
Holy,
you know,
shit,
I could have sold it, which isn't terrible. I could have sold it at, you know, gosh, it was at 80, I think, at one point, maybe 70. It was high for a second there.
The 70s, like during the Saturday Night Live thing with Elon.
Yep. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I was one of those guys that was like, yeah, it's going to hit one. And no, it never hit one. So I got out of that. And then I was like, okay, Ethereum, you know, I learned about that. And I kind of just, from there, I went into ETH. I got into Polygon, you know, also known as Matic, a little bit of Cardano. I even had some ETH Classic for a little bit. But now, if I'm being honest, I've sold all those and I just have ETH, because I'm so into NFTs that all I want is ETH. I just want to stack ETH. Like, I don't know. Most people in the NFT world know that that's what you need if you want.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's like the way that everybody is now. Like, I mean, it's not even crazy to be like, oh, I'm gonna start with one ETH, and like if you do it properly, you could end up at 10 ETH within a month or two. Like,
yeah, that's the thing. The return on investment in this world is insane. So, yeah, that was basically my intro to crypto as well. I guess pivoting from there, when did you get into your first, you know, NFT? What was your first NFT that you had, or when did you first get into them?
So the first NFT I had, this is actually a hilarious story. Yeah, it's actually absurd. I used to be like I don't know if you would call like a DEX degen. Like, I was using Uniswap during Uniswap V1.
Okay.
So I was one of the lucky people that got the Uniswap airdrop for whenever they released their governance token, UNI. And let's just say that paid for a lot of the losses that I had whenever I was trading on there, because I have experienced multiple rug pulls. Not like tons of money. I've never had too much. Right. Nice little rug. But at one point, I was in this coin called Chad.
And, okay.
I'm actually curious now if this token even exists anymore. It probably does, but they were one of the first coins where they were pushing for I don't even know what the mechanism would be. It's like, if you sell, it burns some of the supply. So the whole idea was, if you're selling, you're actually, you're screwing yourself. Like, that's the mentality, right?
Okay.
Their Discord was hilarious. Yeah, like, honestly, their Discord was just hilarious to me. I bought it pretty low. Like, I ended up making a tiny bit of profit off of it. But their whole play at first, or after they released the token, was, we're going to release NFTs, and we're going to have a series of NFTs with like people who are famous in crypto, like Andre Cronier, if you've heard of Wi-Fi. They had one with him. Arthur, I can't remember his name, the guy that is being chased now by the feds, that was from BitMEX. They had Sam Bankman-Fried as one of the as one of their NFTs as well. But the NFTs were in collections, so everyone would just own, say there's like 50 of the Sam Bankman-Fried one, I can't even remember now, but you would have to stake your Chad coin for a certain amount of time.
Geez.
Okay. And however much you're staking, you would then be able to mint an NFT. So I actually minted one NFT, and it was the SBF one, Sam Bankman-Fried one. And then I sold all my Chad coin, forgot about it for like almost a year. Then I sold that NFT like a couple months ago.
Was it for profit or just a
couple $100?
Like,
I mean, yeah, because it was like,
right. Hey,
I didn't do anything to other than just stake that coin to get it.
That's right.
It took a while to sell, but
right. That's why we're here, though. You know, that's why we're all here. Is the profit's profit. That's what we like to say.
Yeah. So that's how I got in. But at the time, I probably should have looked into NFTs more. I mean, I did, but I just didn't have the time or the money to throw around with the gas fees, especially not knowing what I was doing. Yeah, exactly. And then eventually I flipped. I got into Lonely Aliens, flipped a decent amount of those, and then now I'm here.
Funny story, really quick. Side note, I did buy his Lonely Alien before we knew each other.
That's my story. Your first NFT?
That was not my first NFT, but that was my first Lonely Alien, and my first and only one. And I'm maybe looking to sell it now, but yeah, so that's funny how we actually connected before even knowing each other through the NRN network. But I guess my first NFT experience was actually through a pretty popular one, and could be pretty popular on this podcast, is NBA Top Shot, being sports related. That was on, if I'm not mistaken, Dapper Labs. So it wasn't through like the OpenSea secondary market or anything like that. It's completely different, like, network. But that was my first dive in NFTs. And my good friend, I have to give credit to him, and NRN founding member, Nate Digital, shout out to Nate, got me into NBA Top Shot. And now I currently hold 79 moments. I don't really check him that much anymore. I'm not on there that often. I feel like everybody right now with Top Shot is kind of just hoping it comes to the Ethereum blockchain. But right now, it's kind of, I'm just holding them. And that was in March of 2021. My first moment was RJ Barrett, which is ironic because I'm a Knicks fan. But that was my first experience with NFTs. And then from there, before I got into the NRN network, I just jumped into a project because I didn't know what I was doing. It's called Pineapple's Day Out. Really funny. I still have three of them that I minted, but the project has not taken off and the floor is extremely low. But, you know, I was one of those people that were like, oh, NFTs, what is it? Oh, these pineapples look cool. Oh, yeah, well, I'll mint these. And, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, but I feel like we all have an experience like that with NFTs, and you have to go through that experience to learn not to make those mistakes next time.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think eventually, as long as Top Shot doesn't get too greedy, that it'll be really successful. I mean, we've seen.
I still have pretty high hopes for Top Shot. Yep. I'm just kind of, you know, holding on to them at this point. Basically, everyone's doing.
You have a lot. But, yeah, I don't have that many moments.
I do have quite a bit. I have 79. I've sold a few. I got a couple decent ones. I sold a Fred Van Fleet made like a couple $100 off of it, which is cool. But other than that, I'm kind of just holding on to them for now. But yeah, that was my first experience into NFTs. And from there, I kind of wanted to get into, you know, since this podcast is going to be basically about NFTs and sports, I know we're both from different parts of the United States. I'm not going to specify where, but you might be able to guess by some of our favorite teams. And I want to get into next, Mizu. Who are some of your favorite teams of any sport? You know, it doesn't have to be Major Five, whatever. Just who are you liking these days?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a dead giveaway when I say this. I'll tie it in with Top Shots. My first Top Shot was a LaMelo Ball Top Shot. So there you go.
See, there you go. As you can see, Hornets, and mine was a Knicks. So if you could guess, he's a Hornets fan. I'm a Knicks fan.
And I love the Panthers as well. I don't love them right now. But, hey, at least it's a little weird that now the Hornets
week,
are
this
the,
past week here.
Say what?
Rough week, sorry, for the Panthers this past week here.
Oh, yeah. Just terrible. I mean, the offense is a joke, but the offense for the Hornets is not a joke. So that's one thing to hang my hat
on. They are exciting to watch.
Yeah, and I know that you have a futures bet on the Hornets.
Yes, I do have a futures bet. I have a season total on over 37.5 wins for the Hornets. I think they're a much improved team this year. And, you know, I think the East is – I mean, that strong, if I'm being honest. And I think 37.5 wins is very doable for that Hornets team. And they're off to a pretty good start, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're 3-0.
Yeah. They actually won yesterday against the Nets. And they were 9.5-point underdogs. I mean, I just think that they're pretty deep. And as long as they stay healthy, they'll be a good team.
They're going to come to play every night. They got athletes, a bunch of athletes. Miles Bridges, LaMelo Ball, guys that just really like to run and gun, and which is good for that team.
100%. Well, what about your NFL team?
So my NFL team is the Buffalo Bills. diehard was a rough. Geez, I don't know. Say 20 years growing up, we weren't very good. But finally, over these last few years, we turned it around. Josh Allen seems to be our savior here in Buffalo. And
I understand that, man. I'm a Hornets fan. You know, I've been through the Bobcats and all that shit.
Yep, you know how it goes. So the Bills, man, they're exciting to watch. Bills Mafia, you know, jumping through tables and stuff. But I don't do that. Not everybody does that. Some of my friends do that. I do have season tickets, and the games are really fun. But yeah, Buffalo Bills, that's my team, man. So, and if you can guess from there, I'm a Sabres fan as well on the ice. I do like Buffalo Sabres. When it comes to betting, I can actually just tell you a little bit about myself and Mizu. I know he does, you do a lot of the football bets, and you do NBA. I do a little bit more of baseball and hockey. So when we're talking about bets on this podcast, you might hear some different sports. And, you know, just wanted to give you a little heads up there on what we each like to cap.
I don't think we've even talked about this, but I bet on golf as well.
Oh, so, I like that. Okay. You know, yeah. I do bet on golf every now and then, but I'm all for golf. I like betting on futures in golf. I think that's fun. I think, you know, betting on, you know, seeing how the first round plays out on a Thursday and then seeing what odds you can get somebody at to win after that is fun. So awesome. That's cool. I'm really excited to talk some golf bets as we get into this a bit.
Yeah, and I would say, as you could imagine, I don't really have any teams that I'm super diehard for when it comes to the NHL or baseball. I did live in DC for a while, and so I guess by proxy became a Caps fan and a Nationals fan.
Yeah,
some would say I should be a Hurricanes fan. A lot of my friends say that.
Hey, they're good, man. Hurricanes are good. I got money on them tonight.
They are really good. I mean, I cheer for the Canes too, so it's like,
yeah,
it's
of course,
because they're kind of rivals in a way.
Yeah, no, totally. Yep.
But I really enjoyed going to Caps games whenever I lived up there, and I've never been to a Hurricanes game.
The Capitals, those games look electric, and the Canes, you should definitely try and get to one, because I've always wanted to go. They do that crazy, what do they even do? It's at the end of the game, and they all get to center ice, and they always do some, I don't even know, it's some crazy, like, something for the fans. I'd have to look it up. I'm fumbling my words right now, but they do something cool, like, when they win, they always do something cool at center ice for the fans, so I'm all for the Hurricanes, and I really like their jerseys. I think they have some cool jerseys.
Yeah, they do have sick jerseys. I did make it to the playoff game in Nashville this year, one of the playoff games. Just barely lost, but I think me and a few of my buddies were like one of 15 people wearing red in that entire.
Oh, game. I bet. That place is nuts. Smashville, as they like to call it. Bridgestone Arena.
It's one of the coolest arenas I've been to in all sports.
That place also, that looks like an electric factory in there.
Oh, it is.
I didn't even mention my favorite baseball team. I guess if we're sticking in New York, so if you couldn't guess, it is the New York Yankees. I'll leave it at that. I don't want to get into the Yankees this year. They were disappointing, but baseball is wrapping up. I will have some, maybe some World Series futures bets on next week's podcast. But baseball is a big, big one for me. So maybe going into next season, I'll have some futures for you guys. I think from here, maybe we'll just give you guys a pick, and then we're gonna wrap this thing up, and we'll get back next week and start diving into maybe some athletes that are in the NFT world, maybe a Bears Deluxe project, a project that we both really are bullish on and we both really like. And what do you think about that, Mizu?
Yeah, I guess I'll just say, like, as a primer for the all episodes going forward, is we will talk about the intersection between NFTs and athletes, and then also how investing in NFTs can be kind of similar to sports gambling. So
exactly,
if you're interested in that, this is the podcast for you.
This is the one. And before we leave, we're going to give you guys each one of our favorite NFL bets for this upcoming week, Sunday. It'll be Halloween. Well, the day before Halloween, I will be in the Bills game, And my pick is not on the Bills, I'll tell you that. I'm going to give you the Cincinnati Bengals -9.5. Jump on it now. I think it's a good play. Pretty much, well, all I have to say is Mike White at quarterback for the Jets. The Bengals are coming off a huge road win. They are 3-1 against the spread on the road, and they're 4-3 against the spread overall. The Jets just, on the other hand, do not look good. Jamar Chase for the Bengals looks like rookie of the year. So I just think the Bengals are worth the points in this one. I'm going to lay the 9.5 and expect them to win by double digits. I do expect this to move. So if you're listening, try and jump on it now. I think it's going to move later in the week. So jump on that one. Bengals -9.5. Mizzou, what do you got for us?
I was actually, before I give my pick, I was going to ask, how long have you been betting on sports?
You know what? That's a great question. And I've honestly only been betting on sports, I guess I could say, since about 2017, but not like I have been, I guess you could say, since the pandemic ended. Prior to that, I was very casual, like Super Bowl, bigger things, you know, maybe NBA playoffs. But now, the pandemic kind of hit. I had a lot of time at home. I dug deeper. There wasn't any sports going on, so I really wasn't betting then, but I was digging deeper into sports gambling and, you know, how to make money in the long term doing it, return on investment, CLV, all those kind of things, parlays. So I've recently gotten into it, I would say, over the last 2 years, pretty seriously. And now I can call myself a full on degenerate. And I bet almost every day of the week if I can find something that I like. What about you?
There you go. Yeah, I mean, I've been betting since like 2015. Not seriously though until 2018 to 2019. I actually took 2020 off because of COVID. Betting
exactly.
I didn't want to deal with all the injuries. Like, you know, 30 minutes before kickoff and 10 guys are out all of a sudden.
Yep.
So I didn't bet last year, came back this year, and we were talking about this earlier. I used to be more heavy in the college football, and I have gotten wrecked this year.
And you know what? That's okay, because I have too, and I think a lot of people have. It's been a tough year for college football. I mean, look at Alabama. There isn't even a clear-cut, you know, number one team. Georgia is up there for sure, but it's all over the place this year. Cincinnati almost lost last week.
I think it's just that in college this year, and this is just my theory, I don't really know, but with them waiving a year off for everybody because of COVID, it made a lot of teams that typically wouldn't have as much experience have a lot more experience. And teams like Alabama and Georgia, you know, the top dogs, they all lost a bunch of guys to go to the NFL. So college has just become extremely weird this year.
Yeah, I think a little harder to predict.
Right. And the Definitely. Transfer portal is a big piece of that, too. So we're going to see that happen in college basketball, too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something we could talk about in future podcasts, maybe something about the transfer portal. Someone that I got my eye on in college football might be Spencer Rattler, for example. Looks like Caleb Williams is going to take that job over at quarterback. So, you know, Spencer Rattler was a big name for Heisman before the season started. So maybe now we see him enter the transfer portal, et cetera, and who knows. So something to look out for on a future podcast of ours.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I would say for me, last thing, I have not tracked my plays nearly as well as NFA has. But I do track my plays now, when we both track our plays on Action Network. So you can
Follow us on Action Network. I believe my Action Network might even actually be under Built to Last Bets, but I can change that to Not Fade Away.
We could link it to
We can totally link it to the podcast in the bio. And so who's your pick? What do you got?
My pick, yeah. So I actually would piggyback off of your Bengals, I guess, note that you had on Ja'Marr Chase. My book doesn't have the odds, but the odds I'm seeing for him to win Rookie of the Year, minus 140. I actually don't even think – I don't think that's a bad bet. I don't know who's going to take it from him at this point. He's absurd.
I think that's a great bet. I almost think it's a lock, and I hate saying the word lock in sports gambling because there is no such thing. But
he would have to get injured.
Exactly. That's kind of how it is at this point. He is running away with it. I mean, he's running away with – at this point, he's got – after last night's performance, he's got to be yesterday afternoon, he's got to be in the top five in receiving yards.
I think he's going to flirt with breaking like a bunch of Randy Moss's records. So if that happens, it's done. He's going to win it.
Yeah, him and Burrow are just – a great combo.
Yep. They carried it over from LSU pretty easily. And
for sure.
I guess to wrap things up here, my pick for next week is going to be the Steelers +3.5. Grab it before it moves down to 3, I would say. The Browns injury report's just a laundry list. I mean, Chubb could be back this week, I saw, but I don't think Hunt's going to be back. Sounds like Baker could miss more games. Even if Baker comes in, I just don't see him having a good game. And I don't know if they're going to risk putting him out there, to be honest, because who wants to send a quarterback out there with a shoulder injury against TJ Watt? Like,
right. Your franchise quarterback for the future, supposedly.
Yeah. And I think that's just really risky on their part. And I don't think that Keenum's going to have much time to throw with Watt coming at him again. And not to mention Tomlin is just amazing as an underdog. I don't know if this is exactly right, but my number is he's 40-20-2 against the spread as an underdog. So I don't know what he does, but he gets those guys ready to play whenever they're underdogs. And this is just the perfect spot for them.
I agree. Big Ben's
falling apart, and they're going to want to win this, like, big time.
Yep, it's a big rivalry game there. Pittsburgh and Cleveland always has been AFC North battle. Yep. So Pittsburgh +3.5, get it before it moves to 3. Great play.
Yep.
All right, guys. And I agree with
the Bengals play as well. So.
Yep, 9.5. Bengals -9.5. Pittsburgh +3.5. Those are for this upcoming Sunday. Get them in while you can. And I think that is going to do it for our first pod here, guys. Just wanted to, give a little intro, tell everyone about ourselves a little bit and what the podcast is going to bring. So we were looking forward to next week, and we'll get that to you as soon as we can. So thanks for listening.
Yep, appreciate it, and it was a pleasure doing the first pod. We'll link our Twitter and Action Network and all that stuff in the description, most likely, so look for that if you want to follow us.
We will do that, yes, and bear with us if this one was a little rocky. It is our first podcast, so they will get better as we go, but the content is there, and the passion is there, so just bear with us, and we'll bring you what you want.
And I second that. We'll see you guys later.
Later.